This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I begin by praising Allah the Almighty, Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all worlds, the Exalted, the Majestic. And I ask Him to send His choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family members, his companions, and every single individual who treads on his path, the Prophet's path, with ikhlas, with sincerity until the end of time. At the very outset, I start off by reminding myself, by enjoining upon myself, and then all of you all gathered here for Salatul Jum'ah, to adopt a life of taqwa. And that is to instill the consciousness of your Maker, the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is to be conscious of Him. And you must do this during every single second of your lives if you wish to attain victory, if you wish to attain success in this world as well as the next. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa, and may He make us from the victorious and successful ones. Ameen. I'd like to start off by sharing a beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hadith is recorded in the book of Imam Muslim, rahimahullah. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال يدخل الجنة أقوام أفئدتهم مثل أفئدة الطير. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه, he reports that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم is reported to have said يدخل الجنة أقوام, a people will enter Jannah. And then he goes on to say, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, afidatuhum mithlu afidati at-tayr, their hearts will be like the hearts of birds. So people whose hearts are like the hearts of birds will enter Jannah, will enter paradise. So how do we understand these beautiful words of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Now scholars have gone on to interpret. You have Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, I'm sure. The name rings a bell, yes? You have Riyadu Salihin. It's a compilation by Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah. So he states, one of the interpretations put forth is that their hearts, this people who will go to Jannah, their hearts will be light. Their hearts will be pure. Their hearts will be clean, like that of the birds. You see, the birds, they fly out in the morning and they fly back home in the evening. They hold no resentment towards anyone or anything. They hold no hatred. They hold no grudges. They hold no jealousy. They hold no envy in their little hearts. Their hearts are pure. Their hearts are clean. Such a people will enter Jannah. So my dear brothers in Islam, we need to at this juncture reflect on these words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we need to assess our hearts. Today a lot of us, we are concerned about our hearts. We are. Some of us have cardiologists and heart specialists that we go to. And others, we have trackers, we have devices monitoring the health of our hearts. A lot of us, we focus on cardio. Why? Because we want to improve we want to condition our heart. We want to improve the health and maintain good health. We're concerned about our physical hearts. But what about our spiritual hearts? Are we assessing our spiritual hearts? How light are they? How pure are they? And how clean are they? And my dear brothers in Islam, don't gloss over this. Don't think, oh, this is not an important topic. Trust me, inshallah ta'ala, by the end of this sermon, you will see. Bi-idhnillah, I pray, Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli, that Allah puts the right words on my tongue. But you will see towards the end of this sermon how important a topic it is. Now why I say this is because a lot of us, we tend to focus on the rituals. I'm not undermining the rituals. We have to do the rituals, most definitely. But we think, oh, Salah, Zakah, Hajj, Umrah, Sawm, the six fast of Shawwal, the fasting on Monday, fasting on Thursday, fasting the days of Dhul Hijjah, making it for Salatul Fajr, first row, Salatul Jum'ah. These are the important things. Oh, the heart? Nah, I'm not so interested. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not only focus on the outwardly, my dear brothers in Islam, nor did he only focus on the inwardly. You see, unfortunately, there's a spectrum today, two extremes. Some of us who are only on the outwardly side of things, and others who are only focused on the inwardly things. Those who focus only on the inwardly things go on to say, who are you to judge me? Who are you to judge me? Allah is the best of judges. I may not be praying, but my heart is clean. I may not fast, but my heart is clean. And only Allah knows what is in my heart. Right? So this is one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum, we have those of us who are only focused on the outwardly aspects and completely eliminate the heart from the equation. Let me share another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to put things in perspective. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, is reported to have said, the narration goes along the lines of these words. Ala wa inna fil jasadi mudgha. These are not my words, my dear brothers in Islam. I am merely an instrument, a conduit. I'm just conveying the words of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Know that in the body there is a piece of flesh. The words of your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Idha saluhat, saluhal jasadu kulluh. If that piece of flesh is good, if that piece of flesh is upright, if that piece of flesh is sound, saluhal jasadu kulluh, then the entire body is upright, the entire body is good, every limb in that body is good and healthy and sound. And obviously we're talking along spiritual lines here. The Prophet goes on to say, in the sense, ala wa inna fil jasadi mudgha, idha saluhat saluhal jasadu kullu, wa idha fasadat. On the other hand, if that piece of flesh goes bad, if that piece of flesh is corrupt, if that piece of flesh is evil, if that piece of flesh is toxic, fasad al jasadu kullu, the entire body goes bad, every limb goes bad. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ala wa hiya al-qalb." Know that it is the heart. Know that it is the heart. Allah says in the noble Quran, "Yawma la yanfa'u malun wa la banun." Yawma la yanfa'u malun wa la banun. On that day, Allah is talking about the day of Qiyamah. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ. Your wealth will not benefit you. Your net worth will not benefit you. Your crypto portfolio will not benefit you. Your properties, your villas, your apartments, your vehicles, your watches, your assets, your money, your bank balance, your status, your job, your address will not benefit you. وَلَا بَنُونَ. Your children will not benefit you. Yes, mashallah, they're all degree holders. They're all educated. You've done your bit. But they're not going to benefit you on that day. What will benefit you on that day, my dear brother? Illa man atallaha biqalbin salim. The one who comes with a clean heart. Qalb salim. A spiritually healthy heart. The one who comes with that heart to Allah on that day. That is what will benefit the individual on that day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all with clean hearts. Ameen. So my dear brothers in Islam, you have to understand that shaitan is tricky. He uses different traps to push us into maladies, into sicknesses, into traps that riddle our heart with diseases, that riddle our heart with sicknesses. Let me share another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, "Al-Muslimu man salima an-nasu min lisanihi wa yadihi." The Muslim is the one from whose tongue and hand people are safe. In the sense, he does not harm anyone using his tongue. He does not harm anyone using his hands. This is the believer. This is the Muslim. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, "Min husni islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni." From amongst the perfection and the completion of one's Islam is to leave that which does not concern him. It is to leave that which does not concern you. But how many of us find this so difficult to do? To mind our own businesses, to stop poking our noses into the affairs of others. Do you find it extremely difficult to do? My dear brothers in Islam, why I started off by saying that we have a spectrum and we have those of us who are on one end and others who are on the other end is because a lot of us, we strive hard to do good deeds. We strive hard, very hard. And think about it, reflect for a moment. You're here, smack in the middle of the day for Salatul Jum'ah. For what? Ask yourself, why are you here? You're here to obviously please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're here to avoid sin. Because if you don't pray Salatul Jum'ah, when you're able to, then you're sinning, right? You're doing all of this to please Allah and to enter Jannah. Why are you coming for Salatul Fajr? To please Allah and to eventually enter Jannah, right? Why are you going on Umrah? Why are you going on Hajj, spending your money and going all the way there to please Allah, to go to Jannah? Why are you giving zakah from your hard-earned money? Why? Because you want to please Allah. You want to earn His pleasure. You want to enter Jannah. But do you know, my dear brothers in Islam, along with doing all of that, you must ensure that you protect your tongue, that you protect your heart, because otherwise it's going to become like a leaking bucket. You know what the analogy of a leaking bucket is? Let's say you have a bucket, a big bucket, and you're walking kilometers, you're walking miles to get water. You've walked now a very long distance, let's say 5 or 10 kilometers with a bucket, and you've filled the bucket to take water back home. Now you have to walk back another 5 to 10 kilometers. Would it make sense to take a bucket with holes? Would any one of us take a bucket with holes? Would it make sense? It won't make sense, right? Because by the time you walk back, you would have lost all the water that you went for. So similarly, my dear brothers in Islam, along with doing all these good deeds, if you do not protect your tongue, if you do not protect your heart, on the day of Qiyamah, it's going to be a very unfortunate scene that will unravel. There are ahadith to the effect where individuals will stand in front of Allah Azza wa Jal, expecting to see their good deeds. They have spent so much for the sake of Allah. They have done so much for the sake of Allah. And they are expecting to be handsomely rewarded by Allah Azza wa Jal. And yes, they will see their mountains of good deeds eventually transforming into mountains of sins. Why? Because they indulged in ghiba. They backbit about others. Backbiting. Namima. Carrying tales about others. Their hearts, they've thought bad about others. So you have to understand the gravity of backbiting. When you backbite about someone, ghibah, you know, and do you know what is backbiting? Some of us, we don't know what is backbiting. We don't know what is backbiting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, hadith is in the book of Imam Muslim. The Prophet asks the companions this very same question. Oh my companions, atadruna mal ghiba? Do you know what ghiba is? Do you know what backbiting is? And they all responded, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and His Messenger know best. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam defined ghiba, defined backbiting. And listen to me attentively. The Prophet said, dhikruka akhaka bima yakrah. To say something about your brother or about your sister in his or her absence, something that he or she would dislike to hear about themselves. This is ghibah. This is backbiting. So ask yourself, my dear brother, My dear sister, how many of us indulge in this on a daily basis, unfortunately? And interestingly, the Sahaba then go on to say, قِيلَ أَفَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ كَانَ فِي أَخِي مَا أَقُولُ Ya Rasulullah, what if that negative thing that I'm saying about my brother is there in him? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam then says, if that is actually found in him, okay, let's say you're talking about your brother in his absence, something negatively about him. Look at the words of the Prophet. Hadith is in the book of Imam Muslim. The Prophet says, if that negative thing that you mentioned was actually there, then that is ghibah. On the other hand, if it is not there, most of the time we backbite about others, you know, very, very carelessly. You know, I heard this about so-and-so. I heard this about so-and-so. Oh, you know what? His dealings are like this. Oh, you know, he's running around in this because of this. Or, you know, he's involved in this, he's involved in that. You know, we don't even hesitate. We don't bat an eyelid. We talk about other people's families, other people's businesses, other people's marriages, other people's children, almost as if we are lily white. Aren't we ashamed of ourselves? Are we saints? Are we angels to do this? And look at the words of the Prophet. He says, if you said something negative about your brother in his absence, and if that was actually true, then that is ghiba. On the other hand, if it is a lie, then that is even worse than ghiba. It is buhtan. It is oppression. Ghiba in and of itself is oppression. This is a greater form of oppression. You have lied. And my dear brothers in Islam, you have to take it very seriously. You see, if you fall short with regards to one of your rights that you have to fulfill with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is the most forgiving. I have spoke about this so many times, you know, during this last month of Ramadan. Inna Allah ghafoor, inna Allah rahim. Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. He will forgive you. But you see, when you backbite about someone, the forgiveness of Allah, remember this, mark my words, is hinged onto the fact that you have usurped the rights of your brother. You have attacked his honor. Now until he forgives you, you're not going to be forgiven. Do we really need this? Do we really need this? Let's say if you spoke negatively about someone in his absence, now you have to go to him and tell him, brother, I did this, forgive me. Now how many of us, we are on our high horses, right? How many of us can swallow our egos and now go and do it? Shaitan won't let us, my dear brothers. Shaitan won't let us. Now what is the point now, my question to you, what is the point of you doing good deeds at this juncture? When you're not going to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the point? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once walking by two graves. It's a very scary hadith. The Prophet, the color of his face, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he narrates, we were walking with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he passed by two graves. And suddenly we saw the color of the face of the Prophet changing until it was white like the sleeve of his shirt. So then they all asked, Ya Rasulullah, what is the matter? What is wrong? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, you, all of you cannot hear what I can hear. And then they asked, what is it, Ya Rasulullah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, the two individuals who are in this grave are being severely punished. And then the Prophet said, one of them used to harm people with his tongue. He used to carry gossip about others. So he's being severely punished by Allah Azza wa Jalla. So you see, this tongue, no bones, it moves around very easily. It can make a person, it can break a person. You have to mark your words, my dear brothers in Islam. Just because it is easy to speak, you don't utter whatever comes to your mind and rolls off your tongue. You have to be extremely, extremely careful. Because from your deeds being destroyed, to you being punished in the grave, to you standing in front of Allah and losing all your deeds, to not entering Jannah. Sheikh, where did you get that from? Again, the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith is recorded in the book of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahimahullah. An authentic hadith عن حذيفة رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا يدخل الجنة نمام. The tail bearer will not enter paradise. The one who gossips will not enter paradise. Clear cut words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Do you really want to risk your Jannah for this? Is it that addictive? Is it that enjoyable? Ask yourself, is it really worth it? How many a time we are at a function, we gossip about others. We're hanging out with our friends, we gossip about others. And we really don't care. We gossip about the righteous people, we gossip about scholars, we gossip about our relatives, we gossip about family. We have never met the individual, Allahu Akbar. We have never met the individual, and we gossip about that individual. I'd like to share another hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam is reported to have said, when I was taken on my night journey during Isra and Mi'raj, I passed by a people who had metal hooks in their hands. They had, you know, because I'm holding this, I can't demonstrate. They had metal hooks on their hands, you know, iron hooks. And they were using those hooks to claw at their faces and their necks. You know, they were inflicting the punishment upon themselves. They had metal hooks, you know, these iron hooks. And they were clawing at their faces and their necks. The Prophet was shocked and he asks Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya Jibreel, who are these individuals? Who are these people? And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam went on to say, These are the ones who eat the flesh of people and attack their honor. You know, this example of eating the flesh of others, it is backbiting. يَأْكُلُ أَحَدُكُمْ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا. Allah says in the Quran, backbiting is like eating the flesh of your dead brother. Would any one of you do it? Would any one of you do it? If your friend has passed away, would you go to his funeral and start eating his flesh? Would you cut flesh off of him and eat him? Are we cannibals? Backbiting is just that, exactly that. So my dear brothers in Islam, you have to be extremely careful about this. Otherwise, you're going to end up spoiling your good deeds. And before I conclude, I want to touch on one more thing. So, we just spoke about avoiding backbiting. Okay? What if you are in a gathering? Listen to me attentively. You are in a gathering and someone is backbiting about someone else. Let's say, for the sake of clarity, Mr. A, Mr. B, and Mr. C are friends. Okay? Mr. A and Mr. B are in a gathering where someone or some people are backbiting about Mr. C. Now, what is the responsibility of Mr. A and Mr. B? Again, there are two extremes. One is, there are those of us who would indulge in the backbiting. You know, they say throwing or putting, they add fuel to the fire. They like to, you know, make the, it's all juicy, you know, the juicy gossip, they like it. Fortunately, men also, you know, tend to, it used to be, I'm not stereotyping, but now all genders basically, they indulge in it. So, one extreme is where you indulge in the gossip and you enable the gossip. The other extreme is to, you know, you take minding your own business to the next level and, you know, you don't add fuel, nor do you defend your friend. So, Islamically, what are you supposed to do? What is your responsibility? That's the right question. The responsibility, my dear brother, my dear sister, is to defend your brother. And by the way, it is an obligation to defend your brother. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he reports that once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent Umar radiallahu anhu to collect zakah. The hadith is in the book of Imam Muslim, rahimahullah. Umar radiallahu anhu was sent to collect zakah. So he goes now to collect zakah, and then he comes back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says, he informs the Prophet. The narration goes along the lines of these words: three individuals have refused to pay their zakah, and he mentions their names: Ibn Jamil, Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu an, and Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Three individuals have refused to pay their zakah. Umar radiyallahu anhu tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Immediately, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, with regards to Ibn Jamil, he does not want to pay his zakah. He was poor and Allah made him rich. So the Prophet was clearly stating what had happened. With regards to Khalid ibn al-Walid, Ya Umar, you are being unjust to Khalid radiallahu anhu, for he has reserved, you have to understand, Khalid ibn al-Walid was a warrior. So he has reserved all of his armor and all of his weapons for the sake of Allah. So there is no zakah due on him. He has made waqf of everything that he has for the sake of Allah. In other words, in terms of weapons and armor. You understand? So there is a way to calculate zakah. If you have a certain amount of wealth and if certain amount of assets and things like that, there are certain categories where zakah will become applicable. But with regards to Khalid ibn al-Walid, whatever he has in terms of his armor, in terms of perhaps his horses, in terms of his weapons, everything has been pledged for the sake of Allah. So there is no zakah due upon Khalid ibn al-Walid. And as for Al-Abbas, I am responsible for the zakah of Al-Abbas. Now, the point that I want to highlight here is with regards to Khalid ibn al-Walid. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam defended Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu. So similarly, my dear brothers in Islam, if you are in a gathering where someone is attacking the honor of your brother, the believer, the Muslim, you must defend his honor. You must put a stop. And this is part of Al-Amr bil-Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar as well, enjoining good and forbidding evil. You must stop the backbiting. You must tell your friends, you must tell the gathering, let us be aware and stop backbiting about others. Some of us, we even say, you know, I don't want to backbite. And then we go on to backbite. I don't want to say this, you know. Or don't tell anyone, okay? Don't tell anyone. And then we tell that person, we go to another gathering, don't tell anyone, yeah? Don't tell anyone. I heard this and this about so and so. And this is exactly carrying tales. An-namam. This is the definition of carrying tales. You're carrying tales all over the place. So therefore, my dear brothers in Islam, as believers, let us stay away from this. Let us guard our tongues. The pious people of the past would actually put rocks, pebbles in their mouth to avoid unnecessarily speaking. Pious people of the past would actually assess every single word that would come out of their mouths. Did this word that came out of my mouth, that rolled off my tongue, am I going to earn the pleasure of Allah through it, or am I going to anger Him through it? Have we done that kind of an audit? Have we done that kind of an assessment? Every word that comes out, this word, is it pleasing to Allah? Is it displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal? Because you have to bear in mind, my dear brothers in Islam, today we have devices. You know this thing that is clipped on me? I think it can record, I think if I'm not mistaken, I have about 256 GB of storage here. And the files are very small. It can record for hours on end what I'm saying. And it has technology to, you know, the gaps, to remove the gaps and do all of that stuff. So what I'm trying to highlight here is that we have come up with technology to capture video, 4K, 8K, you have all this technology. So you think Allah does not have the technology to capture every single word that you utter? Every single word is on record. Every single statement of yours is clearly recorded. You will not be able to dispute it on the day of Qiyamah, fi kitabin mubin. So remember that. When you stand in front of Allah Azza wa Jal, every statement of yours, you will be taken to account. So I hope in the few minutes that I had with you all, I instilled the importance of minding your tongue, of working towards a pure heart, because if you do not mind your tongue, this will lead to your heart becoming toxic. You thinking bad about others, you thinking negatively about others, you thinking toxic thoughts about others, you looking down upon others. So if this continues, your heart is not going to become light like the heart of a bird. Like the first hadith that I shared with you all, a people who will enter Jannah and their hearts are going to be like the hearts of birds. So I conclude by sincerely praying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps each and every one of us to transform our hearts, to become pure and light-hearted, where we do not hold grudges against others, we do not hold envy against others. Ya Allah, help us to purify our hearts. Help us to eliminate toxic elements from our hearts. Help us to think good thoughts about others, Ya Allah. Help us to give the benefit of doubt to others, Ya Allah. Help us to make excuses for others, Ya Allah. Help us to defend the rights, the honor of our brothers and sisters, Ya Allah. Help us to stay away from this pit of backbiting. Help us to stay away from this pit of namima, carrying tales. Ya Allah, do not deprive us, Ya Allah. Do not deprive us of Jannah because of backbiting. Do not destroy our good deeds. Help us to stay away so that our deeds are not destroyed through backbiting, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, help us to guard our tongues. Help us to purify our hearts. Bless us with qulub, salim, with pure, light and clean hearts. And just as how you united us here for this sermon, unite us in the beautiful and lofty gardens of Jannah in the companionship of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen, ameen, wa akhir da'wayan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.